Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels. All righty. Shovels are sharpened, poised, and ready. And
you're having too much fun with that music.
I am.
That's great.
You know, your brother's picking and I'm grinning. So.
Golly, a good bright sunshine. Sunrise this morning.
I'll take it any day, won't you?
You got them cakes on the griddle, and we're ready to go for the day.
You bet. Yeehaw, thank God I'm a country boy. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, we got the Green Country Gardener program up running. That, of course, is Larry, and I'm Tom, and we've got your phone calls at 1-800-749-5936. We've got a whole packed program today. We're also going to get you a bucket full of pansies?
That's right, a big old flat of pansies. Uh-huh. Just for calling in, you have an opportunity to win a flat of pansies.
Yeah.
So, give us a call if you have any questions. A lot of people are having questions coming into the nursery. They have questions about their plants.
They do.
Some of which are, why are the needles falling off of my pine trees?
Does this foretell a bad winter?
No, it's natural.
Yeah, okay, good. Not supernatural.
Yeah, it's fall. And
that'll happen.
And pine trees generally keep their needles anywhere from 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, you're out of here, buddy. And they drop them out to make room for the new ones.
Gotcha.
So so that's natural for that to happen.
But if it hasn't happened for a couple of years and all of a sudden it happens, it's going to take some folks who've not been paying attention a little bit by surprise, and I understand that.
Right. And there are some cases, it's been a little dry lately, too.
A little.
That perhaps the tree is not being watered enough. So look at the condition of the grass around the tree, and if it's just over there screaming for water, chances are your trees are a little bit too dry.
Give them a drink.
Exactly. We have to kind of supplement. Now, tomorrow there's a pretty good chance of rain tomorrow. I looked at the weather before mm-hmm. I left. About a half a chance of rain.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't rain. So everybody get out and wash your cars. It'll rain for sure. So it always happens that way.
It does.
So I tried real hard last week. Washed two of them and mm-hmm. it didn't work. So anyway.
Mm.
So anyway, it's also, if your lawn is really dry, it's coming into the fall, you want to make sure it's adequately watered too.
Got it.
The Bermuda grass can stress out a little bit, and mm-hmm. you can get some die-off here and there on it if it's stressed out mm-hmm. going into the fall. It's going to get cold one of these days. We almost got cold this last week.
Almost.
We had a squeaker and didn't get that cold. So
yeah, Vanita got it, but we didn't. So, I think Coffeeville got a chill, but
we managed to escape an early freeze like that.
So. Yeah.
But anyway, a squeaker. But anyway, that's kind of what's going on out there. Some of the shrubs, too, are go to people's houses mm-hmm. are looking a little dry, too. So go out and get out and look at your plants. You got mm-hmm. a big investment in those plants.
You do.
So you want to make sure to take care of them properly. It's also a good time to apply some mulch to the surface of your beds. And pre-emergent herbicides, it's getting a little bit too late for that. It's been cool. We've had one or two cool days. It was hot this early this week.
80-something.
I said, what's the matter with you clowns? Anyway, what's up with the weather already?
86, 87, then it went right to 63.
81 day, 40 the next day, whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, so it's... this is the time of the year when the weather varies so much like that. And it's cool, and people really mm-hmm. don't think their plants need water when it's cool, but they really do.
Mm-hmm.
And you want them, especially things like our shrub of the week, which is boxwood, especially it, you want to make sure that it's well watered going into the winter.
Yep.
So that's very important. So I've got my little drip system going on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
and so I keep the plants happy and healthy and all that.
There you go.
Yeah, and also the leaves are starting to turn too.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got at the nursery we have a really nice selection of maples that turn pretty colors in the mm-hmm. fall. The October glory is the red sunset, the autumn flame, autumn blaze.
Mm-hmm.
And there's I think we sold that one red point that was real pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, if you want some good fall color, come on out and look and see. We do have some selections for trees.
Got it.
Give you some fall color, mm-hmm. as well as some shrubs that'll do the same thing, too, and mm-hmm. some evergreens and whatnot. So anyway, in your lawn, continue to replant or establish cool season lawns, such as fescue at this point.
Mm-hmm.
rather run out of time doing a fescue seed. So it's pretty close to November. So October is a really good time of year to do that. So if you have the time, you might want to go ahead and get some grass seed down. We got a little bit of rain coming on. Mm-hmm. And so time to do that too. That bag of grass seed you bought like a month ago, say, I'm going to get out and we're going to do it this year. Well, if it's still there, you're running out of time.
I got two bags left, Larry. I think I'm going to know what I'm doing this afternoon.
You're going to feed the birds, right?
Okay. Feed the birds.
Golly. The peony plants, I noticed in a lot of people's houses mm-hmm. that I visit, the powdery mildews got to them real bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you just cut them back.
Got it.
Not much. You don't want to spray them. It's too late. Mm-hmm. I cut mine back a couple of weeks ago. And the little red eyes are down there ready to come up for the spring. So if they do have the mildew on them, you just want to just cut them back. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't waste my money spraying the leaves on your peony plants at this point. The iris and daylilies can still be divided. Daylilies, spring flowering perennials such as that mm-hmm. can be divided at this point. You want to dig and store your perennials like cannas and dahlias before it freezes.
Got it.
Caladiums, especially. Got a lot of money probably invested in all those caladiums all over the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you give them a chance. Maybe they'll
see what they can do.
Store them, put them under the couch for the winter. Or actually in a warm garage. Mm-hmm. They'll make it okay.
That'd be a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. Under the couch, they'll probably grow, or the cat might eat them, maybe. I don't know. So you put them in the garage in a cool, dry location.
Got it.
Store them in a paper bag or in a potato sack or something. Mm-hmm. You don't want to put your overwintering bulbs in a plastic bag.
You need something breathable, right?
Yeah, you'll have a mush in the spring, so that's not good. So, but anyway, a lot of people, I don't need to store my cannas. I leave them in the ground every year. Well, this might be the year that
they don't do so well.
It might freeze really deep. So at least put some of them in Noah's Ark. So
yeah,
at least you have some survivors for the winter. So fall mums are in their peak right now. They're really pretty. Don't let them get too dry also.
No, you don't want that.
And the ones that you planted in the pots too, the roots are still confined to that space. So it's very easy for them to get too dry. So mm-hmm. Make sure you water those on a regular basis too. So that's coming up. So anyway, the mums are doing real well too. And be sure not to crowd them too close together. Mm-hmm. They tend to get kind of leggy if you do that. It might take a couple of years for them to really get very well established.
Mm-hmm.
So this first year, if it's their first year being planted, and you do want to keep them as a perennial, you might consider mulching them before the winter hits so that they don't get so cold so quickly. Mm-hmm. They can tolerate the cold, but it's the rapid change they don't like. And our soil here, as dry as it is, if it does get really cold, and we haven't had enough precipitation, it can cause some damage to the root system of the mums and a lot of other perennials too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important, as I mentioned earlier, to keep them watered and so on. House plants also, check them for insect pests before bringing them in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
They might get a little itchy if you bring a bunch of bugs in the house.
You don't need that.
No. And you can use a dormant oil on your hibiscus when you bring them in, or neem oil,
mm-hmm.
and quarantine them. That's a word we're coming familiar with now.
Well, yeah, aren't we?
In the garage somewhere, quarantine them for a week or so after you spray them before you bring them in the house, so you don't get these little flying things everywhere.
No, you don't want that. And of course, we got plenty of neem oil there at the shop.
Yeah, and if your house plants that you're bringing in the house are crowded in the mm-hmm. pots, you might want to consider repotting them too.
Yeah, gotcha.
Use a good quality potting soil. Mm-hmm. That's all we sell at the nursery is good stuff. We have years of experience. We've gone through and thrown out a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we carry the Pro Mix, which we've used for years. It's really good stuff. So that's kind of what's with the houseplants. As far as trees are concerned, your Chinese pistachios are starting to show some good color right now.
I bet.
You look on them, you can probably see something out.
I know in your yard, yours is doing great.
Yeah, the one I dug up years ago.
Yeah.
It's starting to turn. It tinges a little bit before it really turns. It really hasn't. There's a red maple to the west, so it doesn't change that much, but it does give you some good color.
Mm-hmm.
The burning bush, there's a variable startup in the fall color on burning bush, too. And I think it's just due to locale and stress levels and all that on the plants. I have some that aren't, that are still green as a gourd, and some of them that are red. So they
will be till December.
They'll change eventually. They'll get there. Really, the longer they wait, I think the longer the color is on them. So, uh-huh. So anyway, the burning bush will be burning pretty soon.
It's on fire.
So there's some variability when they start. Roses, right now is a good time. The roses have really made a comeback. I've gone to some people's houses, and they've got some really attractive looking roses.
We got them popping on the boulevard.
Yeah, I saw that. Isn't that great? That looks nice, yeah.
The little strip they take care of down there on the east side,
Yeah, those are knockouts.
Mm-hmm.
And they've managed to escape this rosette disease pretty well. They do pretty nicely. I was at a house, it's up north. Julia Child we planted a couple years ago, covered in yellow bloom, just beautiful.
Oh, wow.
They're so pleased with it. And we planted it away from the house.
Good.
On this rosette disease that's going around, I've noticed it's not as prevalent as it was. But anyway, the roses that are in areas where it's warmer, tend to attract the mites that spread the disease.
Mm.
So this one in particular, and my Julia Child, as diminished as it is, I've taken care of it. I should.
Larry, you haven't taken care of Julia Child.
I'll get in trouble. It's still got a flower on it, so it's doing okay. But anyway, it's alive, and it does have a couple blooms
on
it.
Got a pulse.
Anyway, this is doing very well. We planted it on the south side of a trellis, and it has a lot of really big yellow blooms on it. Very nice. So the roses are making a bit of a comeback now until it gets extraordinarily cold.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that you maintain the water levels and fertility levels on these plants for them to do well.
And cut back time is Thanksgiving after the turkey?
After the turkey, yeah. When everybody's in their turkey coma.
Get a tryptophan nap.
Go out and... and then they'll all come, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be doing that when you're supposed to be sleeping.
Sleeping with a chainsaw.
That's right. So anyway, it's getting time to cut those back too pretty soon.
All right. It is 8:20, and we've got more of our Green Country Gardener program coming up with Larry Glass here in just a bit after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. If you call United Reynolds Strategic Sales Team, you may not get someone directly with Bartlesville, but you'll get someone from the Tulsa Metro. These are still local people. They will be from the Tulsa Hub. They all know the availability of equipment that can be brought to that branch to take care of your needs. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Reynolds, 918-333-9580.
Fall has arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Garden mums, pansies, and flowering kale are in stock and ready to bring color to your flower beds. Plus, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of tropical foliage plants, trees, and shrubs. Now's a great time to plant fescue grass seed, and Green Thumb has a great selection of five-star fescue seed ready to sow. Come see what's new and get your mums and pansies from Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Open 7 days a week. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
If you work or live in the downtown area and are experiencing difficulty at times to find a place to park, worry no more. There is downtown parking available at 2nd and Osage that's convenient to downtown businesses and apartments. For more information and monthly rates, call 336-1001. That's 336-1001.
You're listening to K1 for more than 60 years.
Thank you. God bless you for your truth telling.
This is why we listen to you. You listen to mainstream media, drive-by media. They're all liars. They're all hypocrites.
I've listened to you for years.
I'm a radio news junkie.
Bartlesville's News Talk, K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
Ah, yes, the sounds of Oktoberfest. We got our Oompa band. Nice little studio orchestra you brought in here with the Alaire.
Yes, they're outside in there. in their tubas and whatnot.
Kind of a close fit, but you know they we got a mask because they couldn't socially distance. Boy, you let them go. Boy, they just they oompa from
it
the sunrise to the sundown.
It takes a big mask to cover a tuba.
It does.
Okay.
Green Country Gardener Program. It is a 23. Join in the fun, and who knows, we might get you a flat of pansies today.
You bet. We're giving away a flat of pansies to a caller. So if you have a question about your landscape or a particular plant or something, or maybe you've got a pest problem.
Yep.
Or maybe your azaleas aren't blooming. Maybe there's a lot of things that could be wrong. So a lot of things are right, too, anyway.
Yeah, toll-free number is 1-800-749-5936.
Fescue grass, we talked about that, touched on a little bit already, but we have the five-star fescue seed at the nursery, which is very good for the area. It has several different varieties of fescue, one of which for sure will do well in your lawn. The textures of the fescue grass depend, vary between a coarse fescue to a very fine. There are several different varieties in the five-star blend of fescue. We've been selling it for years and had a lot of good feedback on it. So if you have an area in the shade or part sun that needs a bit of grass, you might consider getting some of that. Now, the word is shade tolerant. Fescue grass does really quite well in the sun as well.
Mm-hmm.
However, because of our Bermuda grass, it does not compete successfully with Bermuda grass. So
that's very key, folks. You better pay attention to that. You might be wasting your money.
So we use maybe zoysia in if you want a really nice turf grass, mm-hmm. zoysia in the sun, and it will successfully compete with Bermuda grass.
Got it.
It'll kind of edge it out, really, because it grows so dense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to keep these grasses fertilized at the proper time, too.
Mm-hmm.
With that, you might want to consider, if you haven't yet, fertilizing that fescue grass. Because you started in September, October, November, maybe early December, depending on the weather, and you don't do much to it, December and January and early February. And right about the middle of February, things start to kind of wake up. The crocus are blooming, or croci if you got more than one. But anyway, they're blooming that time of the spring. It's time to get that fescue grass going again. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't planted your fescue seed yet, you might get after it real quick.
Okay.
Just so it can grow up and establish and mature to the wide blade stage. Now, when it first comes up, it's a real narrow blade. It looks kind of fuzzy. And then it matures to a wide blade. When it gets to be broad blade like that, it'll take it. So we're running out of time for it to go from narrow leaf to broad blade state.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, it depends on the weather, too.
It always depends on the weather now, doesn't it?
Yeah. Let's see. A caller?
I think we do. Hi, good morning and welcome. You're on the Green Country Gardening Program. You're on the air with Larry.
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
I've got a question about, we just moved to this place, and I was wanting to know what we want to clear for a garden. And what would be the best way to do that?
You want a clear for the garden?
Yes, we want to clear the grass.
Oh, the grass. Oh, okay. What species of grass is it?
Well, there's several. I think I've got fescue and some Bermuda maybe some ryegrass.
Yeah, a good way to clean the clock, if you will, would be a glyphosate or a Roundup application.
Roundup.
Yeah, you can plant after Roundup is applied. After a couple of weeks, you can go ahead and plant. This time of year you're running out of time for it to be effective on the Bermuda grass, so you might want to get after it pretty quick. But and that'll clear everything out, really. Roundup is non-selective. Just be careful not to use too much. And any bit of Roundup that touches the ground will not work. It only works through leaf absorption. You really can't have a soil sterilant or anything like that to get rid of all vegetation, because nothing else will grow. So you want to work. You want something like the Roundup that'll work within the plant itself, and has really no effect after a certain period of time.
All right, with that, I won't need a pre-emergent in the spring or anything?
A pre-emergent on vegetable gardens, I don't like to use that. Maybe with the exception of corn gluten, because that kind of gets in your vegetables, and I don't think that's very healthy, but
all right.
But anyway, that'll work pretty well. A good layer of mulch is an excellent way to keep weeds under control in the garden. And I'm not talking about just a little bit. I'm talking about a whole lot. In my garden, I use hay. It works rather well. Just a whole bunch of it between the plants, and it does a very good job of keeping the weeds out.
All right. You don't get more weeds from the hay, though?
If you keep a dense layer of it, no, you won't. Heavy mulch does a whole lot to control weeds.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All righty.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to believe. You mm-hmm. put something down that's full of weed seeds, but it controls the weeds.
There you go. Hi, good morning. You're on the air with the Green Country Gardener.
Well, good morning. I've got a couple of tomato plants that are actually bearing right now,
yes,
better than they have all summer. But I've also started noticing, I think I've got aphids on them. Little tiny green insects crawling all over the leaves. Is there something I can do to get rid of the aphids without poisoning the fruit?
Yeah, let it freeze. No, actually,
great
there's
solution,
some.
Yeah.
Mother Nature's funny
Mother
that
Nature
way.
Will do it real quick.
Oh, why didn't I think of that?
Why didn't you think of that? No, actually, a good control is, and it's one thing I was going to talk about on the show today, is neem oil.
Neem oil
is a very good organic type insecticide. It pretty much across the board kills these nasty little insects. And it's very safe for humans.
Okay, good. And what do you do? Spray it on? I guess you do.
Yeah, you spray it on. Yeah, you get a. They put an emulsifier in it, so you can spray it, and it does a very good job of. I use it on my plums. In the spring to keep the bugs off of them. That and. I can't think of the name right now. But anyway.
Yeah.
That and as an organic cover. And it's been very effective to control worms and all kinds of things. We're also having a problem this year with whiteflies on tomatoes. Mm-hmm. You put your hand through it and they just fly out everywhere. And the whitefly itself, it really doesn't do any harm. It's the larval stage that does the harm on the whitefly. And the neem, a good drench of the neem oil will do very well to control that.
Okay, great. All right, thanks very
All
much
right.
for the help.
Oh, and your first name, please. I forgot to get that.
Charlie,
okay, Charlie, thank you for calling.
All right, very good. It is 8:31. We're going to be back with more of the Green Country Gardener program in just a bit. Don't forget, our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. You could be in the running for a flight of pansies, so keep it right here after this two-minute timeout.
Peter's True Value wants to remind you it's time for fall lawn care. Reseed your lawn now with Phil's Mix. Phil's Mix is a blend of 10 different varieties of fescue grass that grows in the sun and even in the shade. Start reseeding your lawn today with Phil's Mix. Only available at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Stop in today for all your lawn and garden needs at Peter's True Value, 1865 North Osage and Highway 75 in Dewey. Open Monday through Friday, 8 till 7, Saturday, 8 till 5, closed Sunday. Peter's True Value. Behind every project is a true value.
68 million Americans are putting their family's financial future at risk by not having enough life insurance. David Woods, president of the Life Foundation.
If something happens to the breadwinner, who's going to pay the mortgage? Who's going to send the kids to college? Who's going to buy the clothes, put food on the table? The consequences can be devastating if you don't have life insurance.
Life insurance costs are at their lowest point ever.
Life insurance isn't a luxury, it's a necessity.
A message from the nonprofit Life Foundation.
God and the Bible are finally getting even with Trump.
Rush.
Because Trump wouldn't pay attention to COVID.
Rush.
The Democrats and the left who are not religious start invoking biblical terms. And now God, who they don't even acknowledge exists, is now coming back to get Trump. It is, it's maddening.
Rush.
Weekdays at 11 on K1, the one you trust.
I wake up, I turn on the radio.
Wake up to K1 Morning News. Weekday mornings at 6.
When I need to know.
Phil Weaver has your weather. I'm Tom Davis, and I'll have your news headlines.
I need news in the morning, weather, and traffic.
Evan Farbach has sports.
Play ball!
Helping you start your day fully informed. K1 Morning News. Weekdays at 6.
In tune with what's going on
K1.
I listen every morning.
The one you trust.
skin look, sok 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 skin look,
sok skin look, sok skin look, sok
skin look, sok skin look, sok skin
look, sok skin
look, sok skin look, sok skin look, sok skin look, sok skin look, sok skin look, sok skin look, sok skin look, sok skin
look, sok skin look, sok skin
look, sok skin look, sok skin look, yes, it is 8:34, and it's the Green Country Gardener Program Oktoberfest version.
Right.
And I'm Tom. He's Larry Glass. He's our expert. I just answer the phone. 1-800-749-5936 is our number. You got a question? Call on in. And Larry here, he went to the old College of Knowledge. He's got all the answers.
Right. Neem oil. We'll talk about neem oil.
Neem oil.
Neem oil is a very natural, organic stuff to use for, and it's good for when you have problems with insects, mites, or fungus.
Fungus.
Anyway, what we really like about that, it's very safe to use. It won't harm you, your kids, your pets, or your livestock, for that matter.
It'll get the bugs, though.
it won't hurt you. Moo. It won't hurt them at all, no. And it's safe for most wildlife. It's the insecticidal properties of this are targeted to pests typically that damage plants.
Mm-hmm.
And it not only kills them physiologically meaning it works on their physical body, if you will. It stops them from breathing. It coats them, if you will, kind of like dormant oil does.
Mm-hmm.
It stops that from happening. Another thing about this stuff is it's a life cycle interrupter.
Keeps them from having babies.
More or less, yeah. And the metamorphosis. Insects go through different stages of development.
Sure they do.
The egg, and then the larva, then the pupa, then the nymph, and then whatever they are. Mm-hmm. And it stops that process. So maybe we should drink. We'll stay forever young.
I hate to be a bug census taker, you know? How many larvae you have in your...
That's a busy job, I'm sure. But anyway, it does... neem oil is native to India, and the seeds they're pressed out from this broadleaf evergreen neem tree, which is indigenous to India.
Mm-hmm.
And the botanical name is Azadirachta indica, and the tree belongs to the mahogany family, actually, and commonly becomes 50 to 60 feet tall. It won't grow here. It will not take our cold weather. It'd be nice if we had neem trees here. They're kind of cool looking trees.
They are.
It'd be nice to have them anyway. So it's a leguminous kind of thing too. Mm-hmm. This has been used medicinally in the cosmetics industry for years. And neem oil, and the tree from which it is derived, is also called from the Sanskrit nimba. So anyway, it's a pretty cool tree. Anyway, it disrupts insects' hormonal balance, so they die before they molt. Or until the next life stage, in other words, and neem oil. But anyway, it's a good one. According to the EPA, azadirachtin acts the following ways: it deters certain pests such as locusts from feeding, and it interferes with the normal life cycle of insects, including feeding, molting, mating, and egg laying. So I guess they just...
That's a lot of interrupting.
They just kind of kick back on their little bug couch and just kind of quit, you know.
I haven't the enthusiasm to go on.
I guess it makes the insects think it's Thanksgiving, and they go into a turkey coma, but they never come out. So anyway, neem oil, we sell quite a bit.
All he does is lay around the leaf. He never does anything.
And be careful, very careful using this around your butterfly weeds.
You don't want to hurt them.
And plants that attract monarchs and things like that. You want to be very selective in where you put it. Some of these plants that you have specifically for butterflies, if you do have other insects, just don't worry about it, I guess. And because you don't want to interrupt their life cycle.
So. How's your butterfly thing doing out there?
Oh, golly, we have two chrysalis that are, if they haven't popped last night, they're probably going to do it today sometime.
That ought to be cool.
So we'll probably have another release, probably two of them today, I guess. Dan will probably text me if we do have some, if they did come out. So anyway, so that's kind of a bit of an event to watch them uncurl from those. Yeah. This big old butterfly comes out, little tiny little chrysalis. It's absolutely amazing how they unfold. And
we got to get you a chrysalis cam. So you put up on your Facebook page. So everybody can just,
I think we posted a picture of the yesterday of the chrysalis. They were having trouble getting it to focus properly. So we took about 10 pictures finally to get it good. But anyway, so there.
It was chrysalis clear after all that.
Oh, don't give me that. Okay. But anyway, so they're coming along, and the monarchs are migrating. I was going to somebody's house and looked up in the tree, and there's a lot that's covered in monarchs. And actually, Oklahoma is kind of a mecca for monarchs on the way south. So
it's a cool place to stop and visit,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, come visit. So anyway, so that's kind of the deal with neem oil. So be very careful with it around beneficial insects, praying mantis and so on. And it helps know your pest. Praying mantis actually is another. It's a carnivorous insect.
And then some.
It eats other bugs.
Eats their mates, too.
Yeah. And I remember one time in my house, my daughter was fascinated by the praying mantis. And we saw some egg cases. I said, don't touch those. Oh, it looks like a trilobite. They attach themselves to a twig or something. Mm-hmm. And the little praying mantis come out. We saw some little tiny ones.
I've never seen the little ones before. I've only seen the great big ones.
They're just smaller versions of the big one. You know, but anyway.
But still, tiny, tiny.
And I taught her not to interrupt the praying mantis. They're not a harmful. They look like a science fiction movie. You know, the praying mantis.
But they're the good guys.
That ain't New York City, you know. But anyway, the praying mantis is a beneficial insect, so be careful how you apply your things if you do. Mm-hmm. And it helps, and we can help you identify these. If you see something that looks rather strange, it might be a mantis egg case, and you want to preserve that. Mm-hmm. So
very good.
So there are a lot, and ladybugs, too. They're very beneficial as well. So there are a lot of insects out there that actually work for us, too.
Let's go to the phones here real quick. Good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Good morning.
Good morning. I was interested in finding out, I have on my tomato plants, there's some little tiny white bugs that fly around them and get on them.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything, do I need to be concerned about them, or do I need to spray the tomato plants or anything?
Yeah, those are whiteflies, which is a difficult, when you grow poinsettias, it's one of your worst enemies.
Oh.
But anyway, at this point in time of the year, I wouldn't be overly concerned, because the freeze will kill out the eggs of the whiteflies before they hatch. But the whitefly itself is basically harmless to the plant.
It's
the egg in the larval stage that cause problems. And if you have them on your shrubs, say, for instance, you might want to use imidacloprid to help. Imidacloprid is a very good control for whitefly, which is a systemic insecticide. And it's sold as a tree and shrub drench, if you will. But anyway, it works systemically in the plant itself, and it does a good job of controlling the whiteflies. But really, this is the first time in a long time I've seen a problem with the white flies on people's plants.
Well, I've never had any problem with those till this year, and I thought,
oh, everybody, even my boxwoods have it at home. I mean, they're a mess. And actually, I used a couple of weeks ago, I did an experiment and used some Dawn dish soap, and a hose end sprayer, and it did a good job of controlling the white flies.
Oh, wow.
So that'll work pretty well. But about three tablespoons to the gallon or so. And if you have a hose-end sprayer, just kind of one of those proportional sprayers, you can put it in that and just spray them everywhere and wash your car with it when you're done with the insects. But anyway, they're fairly easy to control, the fly stage. But the fly stage really doesn't do the harm. It's the larval stage that does the damage to the plants. If you have a problem with those in the spring, then you want to take some action, and the imidacloprid is a good solution to that, and it works from within the plant itself. And as I mentioned earlier about the neem oil, you want to keep it away from your beneficial insect plants. A lot of people have for butterflies and hummingbirds and things. You kind of want to keep the
right. But they don't.
But actually, and I've been doing some reading on the imidacloprid and its use in vegetable plants, and they say very little, if any, gets into the fruit itself. So it's basically harmless in that case.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
So next spring, if I have any problems, I'll spray them then.
Yeah, spray the neem oil will work also. The aforementioned neem oil is an effective mm-hmm. control against them also.
Can we get your first name, please?
Rhonda.
Rhonda.
Okay, Rhonda.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rhonda. Appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. And, of course, the phone line is open now at 1-800-749-5936. It is the Green Country Gardener Program. And don't be too shy. You could win yourself a flat of pansies here today.
You bet.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. It is 8:44, back after this two-minute timeout.
Fall has arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Garden mums, pansies, and flowering kale are in stock and ready to bring color to your flower beds. Plus, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of tropical foliage plants, trees, and shrubs. Now's a great time to plant fescue grass seed, and Green Thumb has a great selection of five-star fescue seed ready to sow. Come see what's new and get your mums and pansies from Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Open 7 days a week. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C, but most people don't know they are infected. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you can still have hepatitis C, a serious liver disease that often has no symptoms. In fact, people can live with hepatitis C for decades without feeling or looking sick. But over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage, liver failure, or even liver cancer. Getting tested is the only way to know if you're infected with hepatitis C. That's why the CDC recommends everyone born from 1945 to 1965 get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments are available that can cure this disease. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
Hey, Kevin, thinking about saving for retirement?
Yeah, but how do I start?
It's easy with Avo, a retirement coach. Let's learn the Avo bet. A is for taking action.
Not anxiety?
No, Kevin, you're going to be fine.
You sick?
Barely. V is for variety.
Huh, change up my strategy. Okay.
O is for optimize your savings.
Let Avo lead the way.
Visit aceyourretirement.org today. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I tell you, the guys, they're hot today, aren't they? The Oompa Band.
Oompa, yeah.
Oktoberfest version of the Green Country.
It's good to explore different cultures.
It is. Truly is.
Anyway, trees, what is your primary consideration for planting a tree?
What is it?
Specimen, flowering, fall color, mm-hmm. shade. How much of a nuisance will you tolerate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trees are fun until you got to take care of them.
Probably little. So, do you want the grass to grow under the tree? All these mm-hmm. criteria you need to consider when picking out a tree.
Yep.
How deep is your soil before you hit bedrock?
Well, in your garden, not very.
But 2 inches, yeah.
Yes.
But all these factors have to be considered. Also, create a buffer zone of 15 feet from structures. Structures meaning the house, the concrete, mm-hmm. the sidewalks, et cetera, just so the root system doesn't cause problems, structural problems with the house mm-hmm. and with your driveway and so on. And and that'll help you locate the tree. Tree of the week is water oak, the Quercus nigra, probably one of the most faster growing of the oak trees. It'll get 60 to 80 feet tall, 40 to 60 feet wide,
mm-hmm.
in a fairly short period of time. It has smaller leaves, about a quarter inch wide and maybe an inch or so long. It's mm-hmm. just a small leaf oak tree.
Yeah.
And you don't have these giant dinner plates falling on the ground. You know,
oh.
It does. Anyway, it's fairly deeply rooted, and sturdy growth makes this a desirable tree here.
Mm-hmm.
I say here because down south, it's not as desirable as it is up here. Our climate keeps the growth of this tree somewhat tempered, so it doesn't grow so fast, and it's stronger wooded here. I have one in my backyard, and when the wind blows, it just moves just a little bit.
Just a little.
Instead of swaying in the breeze, it just kind of rocks and rolls a little bit back and forth. And it's got a very stout, sturdy trunk on it. Has a lot to do with how it's been pruned over the years, too. But anyway, that's Tree of the Week is water oak. It does in a wide variety of soil types, a wide variety of conditions. I know mine is probably about 6 inches deep on top of solid limestone rock. And it's doing very well. I did have a problem in the past with scale. And as we mentioned earlier, the imidacloprid did a very good job of taking care of that. So that's probably the only drawback here with the water oak is the scale. It has a fairly small acorn, which could be to its advantage, a quarter inch, as opposed to one of these big bowling balls that fall down some of these trees around here. But anyway, it's a very small little quarter inch acorn. And if you keep it far enough away from the house, it won't hit the house and someone get plugged up in the gutters and so on. So 20 to 30 feet away from the house is where you want to plant this one, as with any other big tree like that. So that's the water oak. It's semi-evergreen. Fall color is not really spectacular, not very much fall color to it. But occasionally you will get some red leaves on it if we have an extended fall. It is somewhat drought tolerant too. I never have to water this plant. And it just kind of goes on its own and does very well. So anyway, that's our tree of the week. So I like it for its sturdiness. It's a moderate growth habit here, not too rapid. Its branching structure is very sturdy and seems to tolerate the winds real well. And we have a caller.
We do. Good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener.
Good morning, Tom and Larry.
Hello.
Good morning. Hey, Larry.
Oh, well, Kevin.
I've been spraying my yard with Roundup.
Is it going better than it did last year?
Why does that bring laughs here?
Because you missed a strip or two last time.
Now, here's what I'm going to do, Larry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've taken a section of my yard, and you know, it's rather large, you know.
Yes.
So it's still a big section. Anyway, of the yard portion, not out there. Anyway, and sprayed it with Roundup. And I started this last week. Or earlier this past week.
Yes.
And then I want it all to die, and in the spring, I'm going to put some zoysia down and see if I can get that stuff spread through there and kill it all out. What do you think?
Well, that sounds like a rather ambitious project.
Ambitious?
Yeah, zoysia grass. Yeah, you can get it. It's a little slow to spread.
Oh, I know that. I know. But it chokes everything out.
It does. If you keep the fertility levels up, you keep it irrigated, yeah, it'll do very well. Keep the rust out of it, though. Now and then we get some rust on the zoysia.
So how long is it going to take this Bermuda and all this junk fescue and everything I got in that yard to die?
Well, if you spray it with Roundup,
cooler weather.
If you spray it with Roundup, it's gone.
Well, I understand, but it's still green.
Oh, it won't be green for long.
Okay.
Yeah,
we got to get it killed, and then I guess what I'll do is just mow it down real short, shouldn't it?
Yeah, if the Roundup doesn't kill it, scalping it this time of year probably will.
But that's my ambitious project.
Right.
Well, you on the zoysia grass, you'll want to make sure your mower blade is very, very sharp all the time, and.
It's tough.
Yeah, you don't want to cut it with a bush hog. You really need to use a very a somewhat refined mower with it rather than a...
You mean my normal way of mowing? I don't want to do that.
Well, you might want to mow a bit more frequently, too. So, it gets difficult to mow. It's so thick.
Well, I understand, but heck, I have to mow every week now as it is.
Yeah. Okay, so if you keep that mowing schedule going, and irrigating also. Of course, I know down there you might, you have a real deep soil right there, and it tends to stay fairly moist for a long period of time, actually, between waterings. The clay content's kind of high, but it's kind of low.
You know, last year, out there in the bigger part of my yard,
I went and tested after we had a pretty good freeze. I went and sprayed everything with Roundup over there in the park to get that pesky up. Of course, I got those pretty purple flowers, too, last spring.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do that job again this year.
I see.
So clean this thing up.
Yeah.
And kill that fescue off, and then I don't have to mow 9-10 months out of the year.
Okay, Kevin. Yeah, this is something like, you might want to consider starting close to the house and working your way out. And
well, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, let this project kind of grow over time.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm not taking big. I'm just, the worst part of the yard's what I did first.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The worst looking grass I had.
Oh, that's between the house and the driveway.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. The worst looking is between the house and the driveway.
Is that is that part of the yard irrigated?
Oh yeah.
Okay, then yeah, you should have good luck with the zoysia then.
So every zoysia
lawn we've planted has just been a great success.
Well, I've seen it. Man, it's thick. Weeds don't grow. Nothing can grow in it. It looks like to me.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of the monkey grass of lawns.
I think you're right.
Because it grows so dense and nothing else will grow.
Nothing else will. And I mean, if you get, it'll even choke out the Bermuda eventually.
Yes, it will. The Bermuda grass kind of rides on top of it, and it really can't compete successfully with it. The important thing is your fertilizer schedule. It does need a maintenance fertilizer throughout the summer and good irrigation. It takes a little bit more water than Bermuda grass. So you want
we got lots of water now in Bartlesville, lots of it.
Yeah, we got that Copan water now. So yeah.
That's right. We got lots of water now, yeah. So we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So anyway, man, it's been an incredible fall, hasn't it, Larry?
Pardon?
Incredible fall.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The weather's been really variable, but it's been very favorable. We haven't had a hard freeze yet, so.
But we sure needed, have we even had a frost yet?
No.
To the east of us, but not here.
We got real close the other night. Yeah. It got like 38
know,
or something.
Because even down here, and we usually get it first down here in this lower area.
Yes.
My Bermuda is still just as green as it can be. Usually, you know, you get, what do you call that, a leopard look out through there?
Yeah, the cheetah skin, yeah. Cheetah
skin, that's it. And it's not doing that yet.
No, ain't yet, so it's coming up.
But anyway, everything looks pretty good, but it's awful dry out there. We're going to have to start watering.
Yeah, if you go ahead and water, I wish you would, because that'll make it rain. It's supposed to rain tomorrow. So go ahead and water your grass real heavy, and we could use the rain.
If I'd water today, it would blow towards you.
You'd get
all my water.
Yeah, don't use that Roundup today. The whole neighborhood will die. That'll be good for business, I guess.
That's right. You should pay me, Larry.
Okay, Kevin.
All right.
Thank you very much. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
Back in the early 1930s, Frank and Jane Phillips hosted a wonderful party at their lodge home at Willow Rock. For this special party, Frank hired the world-famous magician Harry Blackstone to provide the entertainment for the large crowd. Throughout the evening, Blackstone amazed the guests with his card tricks and sleight of hand, with the crowd applauding and laughing as the tricks got better and better. Finally, Blackstone asked Jane Phillips to step forward. He reached into his coat and removed a new deck of cards and dramatically unwrapped them, removed the cards from the deck, and shuffled them several times. He then asked Mrs. Phillips to cut the cards, which she did, pulling the Queen of Spades, which she showed to the crowd. She put the card back into the deck, and Blackstone carefully shuffled the cards 2 or 3 times, then suddenly spun around and threw the entire deck of cards into the wall of the lodge, just to the left of the front door. 51 cards fell to the floor, and the Queen of Spades stuck on the wall, where it still remains today. A perfect example of the magic of Willow Rock. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
Listen to K1 anywhere and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Trick or treat.
Honey, come here. They're dressed up like that morning news show you love. What's their name again?
Bill and Tom. On K1, you know, we start your day with a little bit of fun, and then it's news, weather, sports. We tell you what's happening in their community with Community Connection and one-on-one with the pros.
So adorable.
Aw, gee, thanks. Join Phil Weaver and me weekday mornings at 6 on K1, the one you trust.
You like sauerkraut on your bratwurst, Larry?
Oh, love it, yeah.
There you go. Goes good with the oompas, doesn't it?
Oompa-da, oompa-da, oompa. Yeah.
Green Country Gardener, we're back. Larry, what you got going on?
Golly, at the nursery, we've got a lot going on. We've got some beautiful pansies, a flat of which we're going to give away, and we can announce the name since we have less than a minute to go.
Yes.
And through the cards down the hallway, and Rhonda came up as the winner.
All right.
So we got Rhonda, come by the radio station and get your little card here for the entire flat of pansies.
It'll be right there at the front desk.
Yep, right at the front desk. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yeah, come by and check out our mums. Well, we don't have very many left. Actually, we've sold the mums really well this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're about gone. So, anyway, and we've got trees changing color, shrubs changing color, and pansies, and the flowering kale and cabbage. Don't forget about that. It looks very attractive. And be sure when you plant those things that you keep your shovel good and sharp. We will see you next week.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville.